and I see the sun, my wings are spread. I'm live and I'm kicking and I'm gonna hear you touch my soul, and I love your company. You bring me smiles, and I know you're here for me.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Andrew Fetter with When Pigs Fly, coming from you from Las Vegas, Nevada. And, God, when I hear that song, Angels in Disguise, it just reminds me of a lot of different things. You know, there are a lot of people out there who do different things in different ways, in different forms, in such a loving, positive way that they themselves are basically angels in disguise. Whether you are healing somebody, helping the little lady on the road, helping a kid, giving some information or whatever, or even, doing a triathlon for some good cause, it's always very angelic. And by the way, that song is from Denise Vasquez, and from her album, Frame of Mind. I hear she's coming out with a new album. And just in case, you guys can always get that at www.cdbaby.com, Denise, or rather, /Denise, D-E-N-I-S-E-V-3. And, coming to mind and thinking of a lot of things, and by the way, if anybody is out here on their way to Vegas or in Vegas, in fact, I'm thinking about getting one, I was going to do it this weekend, but things have come up. So, and also, before I get into it, are Jewish, I want to wish you a Lashana Tova and a Happy New Year, and not just to my Jewish listeners, but to everybody who are listening and will listen, and those who are in it, and not even listening. I wish you a very, very happy and new year filled with unlimited abundance of love, happiness, and good health. And speaking of good health and happiness and all that, if you're out to hear us sing out here in Vegas, check out Sun Lily. She's a Reiki master. She has actually a website called www.epichealing.com, and her number is 702-405-8912 for a truly great healing. And she utilizes both Reiki as well as crystals, and there's a lot of information on her website, and hopefully maybe I'll even have her as a guest. Actually, today I was going to tell you I was going to have a guest, and she had some throat conditions, and we've had postponed it. Lynn Granhill, who is a psychic for a lot of the rock stars. In fact, she's known as the rock and roll psychic, like Motley Crue and Aerosmith and etc. Hopefully we'll have her on the show, and hope she heals soon as well. And I also have a special guest coming on, and it's tentatively set up. Her name is Carrie. She's an astrologist, and she's going to do she is setting up an astrology of our presidential candidates coming up, which would be quite interesting. So that's tentative in 2 weeks from now on the 28th. So first, before I get into, and the reason why I mainlined my heading for this show is politically incorrect, because I know I will be saying certain things that will offend people, and it's not to offend people, it's basically tell it how it is. That is not my intention. I just lay on the truth. But before I do, this week was, you know, obviously after 6 years of 9/11, since the terrorist attacks in New York, Washington, as well as what happened in Pennsylvania on 9/11. So first and foremost, I want to give my condolences and prayers to those who are affected, the families and friends of those who have perished on 9/11. And also I want to give my prayers and condolences to the families and friends who since then who have lost due to the 9/11 terrorist attacks. And that includes our brave policemen, the firemen, the rescue workers, and the volunteers who are even today suffering from illnesses, and some are catastrophic. I empathize with those who are suffering from this, and those who are suffering through, whether it's physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Again, my condolences and my prayers go out to all those who have been affected. And enough said. I know everybody is truly affected when you see, remember what happened in that time period. But now I need to get into some serious subjects. I know it's like I said. And one of it, you know, let me just quote a famous quote by Thomas Paine, and it so relates to so many things today. And I think it's such an important statement. I mean, you should put this on a wall or something. It tells it just how it is. And Thomas Paine once said, "Reason obeys itself, and ignorance submits to whatever is dictated to it." And that really tells a lot of things about our society today. I mean, basically, if you want to remain ignorant, which is a choice, by the way, then you're going to eat up whatever is being dished to you. And if you use reason, reason will just obey itself by just manifesting what is really going on with common sense. It's sort of funny because he wrote the famous Articles of Common Sense, which made sense why how we became a nation. Now, I hear and consistently, and this is what I'm trying to get at to, about being ignorant about situations, is what the United States Constitution, its values, its principles were founded upon. And it's constantly portrayed, whether it's on Fox News, who seems to talk out of their ass basically every time I turn it on, and all their commenters, because of the O'Reillys, and then you hear the Coulters, and then you even turn on another channel, might be MSNBC, and you'll hear like a Pat Buchanan, another one, or any of the neocons, basically, who feel they're so fundamentally Christian or whatever. So they want to throw that out, that this country is a Christian nation based on Christian principles, when that is purely bullshit, plain and simple. And because they keep on throwing this out on TV, whether it's on news or papers, and they know that people, 50% or more, are basically functional literate in this country, who take their information literally on odds end, basically, like I said, ignorance submits to whatever is dictated to it. So they suck it up and believe it. And they think you say it over and over again, and they believe it. And it's really important to understand why they're saying it, because they want to turn this country into in which the Republicans have tried to do, is turn this country into from fundamentally being a democracy into a theocracy. And I'm not comparing it to the Iranian theocracy or the Hamas theocracy or any other Islamic theocracies, but it would be getting eventually to that state. So what is really the foundation of this country? I mean, I don't know if people have watched, maybe since the movie National Treasure with Nicolas Cage and about the Masons and all that stuff, but that's the truth. This country is not founded on Christian principles. It is founded upon Masonic principles. And I know people are going, Masons, aren't those guys the Illuminati's are trying to control the world? I hear about no, that was a hijack thing. And I mean, I can argue with some of my friends and colleagues about the Illuminati and Masons, but they are, it has nothing to do with that. They were the Illuminati, the real Illuminati. The real Illuminati being the Masons were what they call the enlightened, trying to be the fundamental bringing freedom and justice to each individual, to have reason to think for themselves, not be dictated, to have choices. And the most important concept, by the way, within in Masons is having respecting each other's thoughts and having discussions. But and this is where, by the way, where the God sense, where everybody thinks of, you know, they confuse Christian input because they hear God, well, this is God and this and God and that, or the Creator. But it's from Masons, because in order to be a Mason, you can be a Jew, a Muslim, Catholic, Protestant, you can be agnostic, as long as you bring, one of their criteria is believing in God. And the reason why I know this, I'm not a Mason myself, maybe I might, well, I've always been asked, my father, my grandparents were all Masons, and so I have that understanding of what Masons are. And and like I said, anybody can check this out and read about them, you know, whether it's Google it and their basic thing, but you'll find that their rules, the criteria is believing in God. And that's where the under God comes into. I mean, you know, that's where they were founded from the foundation of building Solomon's Temple, which had to have God. But they had respect for other people's belief toward God. And that's where their concept of everybody having their own discussion. And when this country was founded upon, it was founded upon within taverns all around the country within the Masons. You know, and everybody knows, if you see George Washington standing there with his special little apron, when he did the Constitution, what was he wearing? When they did their independence, they had all these little things they were doing that were Masonic. Everything had to do with Masons, you know, and even today, I mean, people see the little certain, the way the design of the our Washington was set up, even if you look at it, it's dealt with the triangles, and you've heard all that stuff, I'm sure you can read about it, hear about it, had a lot of Mason symbolism behind it, but that is the foundation, that's where the under God is all about, that's why you'll see symbols it just doesn't even have, it has, you know, you'll have symbols of Moses and Jesus, but also Muhammad. Because that's how they looked at it. It was inclusive, not exclusive. It's not nobody separate. They knew everybody may have different views, but they made it inclusive. Which is sort of weird because it was contrary almost to most of the organized religions. I mean, to be Christian, Christians feel that everybody goes to hell unless they believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Therefore, the Christian feels he's better than basically everybody else because he's not going to hell. The Jews, the chosen people, because they accepted God's law. The Muslims think everybody's infidel because they have accepted, the Quran and Muhammad as being the last prophet. So everybody has their own little. And I'm talking the Western religions. Of course, Buddhism is a lot different, obviously, and Taoism and. But I'm talking Western and exclusive of Native Americanism. But getting back to the foundation of the United States, it is not, again, the foundation is not of Christian religion. In fact, there's a famous quote by Washington in 1781, which he said, "The government of the United States is not in any sense founded upon the Christian religion." I mean, the founding father, the first president, said the government of the United States is not in any sense founded upon the Christian religion. It's founded upon Messianic principles, if you would add on to that, because that's what it was. In fact, there's even, if you really want to know how the founding fathers felt about Christianity, I mean, it's very fundamental. It's, you can hear about from I just said about Washington, there was a letter from John Adams when he wrote to Thomas Jefferson in 1817. And by the way, you can always verify all these letters and quotes. It's all substantial. He wrote a letter saying this would be the best of all possible worlds if there were no religions in it. Meaning, it would be better this our country, we didn't have any organized religions. God, he almost sounds like John Lennon here. But, you know, that's basically what he thought. Now, if you even read about what Thomas Jefferson, the guy who wrote our Declaration of Independence, who, by the way, who started the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, because it was once together, and what he said about Christianity. And in 1814, this is what he said. The whole history of those books, this is a reference to the Gospels, this is what he thought of the Gospels of the New Testament. It's so defective and doubtful, it seems vain to attempt minute inquiry into it. And such tricks have been played with their texts, and with the texts of other books relating to them, that we have a right from that cause to entertain much doubt what parts of them are genuine. In the New Testament, there is eternal evidence that parts of it have proceeded from an extraordinary man, that other parts are the fabric of inferior minds. It is easy to separate those parts as to pick out diamonds from dunghills. And that's how he felt. And I'm not going to get into what I feel of Christianity or whatever, because you can read, listen to my past shows about Christianity when I talk about organized religion and yada-da. But, you know, and he, you know, in reference, basically, the real essences, you know, like I said, of what there's the beauty within what Jesus, who had done great things and said great things and prophesied great things, but then, like a lot of things are fabricated. And by the way, I mentioned this, and I'll bring this up again. If you ever want to check out my book, When the Angels Have Risen, which you can always check out my website, www.andrewfetter. I even reference that, but I'm not going to get into that, because that's a whole other thing. That's like me going into the details of Masons and stuff, too. And here's I'll even quote another quote from Thomas Jefferson. And this is another relationship, what he felt about Christianity. This is what he said in 1823. And the day will come when the mystical generation of Jesus, by the Supreme Being as his Father, in the womb of a virgin, will be classed with the fable of the generation of Minerva in the brain of Jupiter. But may we hope that the dawn of reason and freedom of thought in these United States will do away with these artificial scaffolding and restores the primitive, genuine doctrines of this most venerated reformer of human heirs. Boy, does that tell you what he thought of Christianity? Basically made it like it was a Roman theology, basically made up. You know, I mean, there was certain things that happened, and I'm just telling you how he thought of Christianity. Again, our founding father, one of them, wrote the Declaration, who said under God, and wrote in there that the Creator, for our individual rights, what he thought. Because they were Masons. These were people of reason. People use the word deitist, but that's really not the correct word. They called deitists because they were trying to be nice. They didn't want to say they were basically following Mason theology. And finally, you know, one of the most important things he had wrote, he wrote a letter to his nephew, Peter Carr. And that, by the way, there's no disrespect of what, you know, people who are Christians. This is just telling you how it is, okay? You can choose whatever you believe. So I'm just, and like I said, I'm not trying to be politically correct here. I'm just telling it how it is. But he had wrote, Thomas Jefferson wrote a letter to his nephew, Peter Carr, and this would quote, "The Christian God can easily be pictured as virtually the same God as the many ancient gods of past civilizations. The Christian God is a three-headed monster, cruel, vengeful, and capricious. If one wishes to know more of this raging, three-headed beast like God, one only needs to look at the caliber of people who they say they serve him. They are always of two classes, fools and hypocrites." God, he sounds like he's talking about the Republicans. But that's what he was referring to. You know, that's what he, you know, and here, I mean, I'm just telling you how he is. Him and John Adams and all of them, even though they would go to church and all that stuff, because that was like the social thing, this is what they felt, and this is what they set up the country based upon, to break that form, to break so people have utilized their scruples, basically, you know. And it's sort of funny how after over more than 200 years, here we are still dealing with the same issues, thinking that we would come and recognize, you know, as he said, restore us to the primitive genuine of doctrines and understand the real reality of, you know, their theology, you know, and what is theocracy. But Thomas Paine and all of them, John Adams, James Madison, Monroe, Alexander Hamilton, I could go on and on. Every, you know, pull out the famous painting when they signed the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, Benjamin Franklin, all of them. Even Benjamin Franklin, as much as he went to church, it was more like just to do business. That's what they did it for. That was where they did their business contacts. It's almost like their Rotary Club, and so to speak. But when they came down to setting up government and what their true beliefs and true discussions of how to do things, it was in the taverns which they held their Masonic meetings, because at the time, at the beginning, they didn't have these special places. They used to meet at taverns, you know, drink a beer and talk, and, you know, and they didn't even just do that. They used to also drink a lot of coffee back then, too, but, you know, that's another thing. But I really needed to get that out so people understood that our country is not based upon Christian fundamentals. It is based on Freemasons, based on Messianic, based on Mason. And you, if you look on that, that's where they were. And they were the true Illuminati. And like I said, that name has been hijacked. And it goes into, because it was hijacked and placed upon, and you'll hear stories about, you know, whether it's the, you know, the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and all those people all together, and all these rich folk and da-da-da, and, you know, that conspiracy stuff. They weren't there, though. That some of them might be Masons, they are not, that's not how the people call the conspiracy of the triad is entangled. They are not the Illuminati. That's not Freemason. That is not Mason. And they, people have hijacked that name and placed it upon what I heard, which is, I put even on my blog site, which discusses about the Bilderbergs and the Trilateral Commissions and the Foreign Relations Council. All those are dealing with that conspiracy thing, which is a whole other matter, and you'll be blown away if people saw who sits on those councils. And it's sort of funny because it's on both sides of the aisle, whether it's liberal, Democrat, and Republican, and conservative. It's sort of funny if you look on who's listed on attends those meetings, because it seems like sometimes I wonder if we're just pawns in this whole game, or about to be pawns, or try to be placed upon pawns. But anyway, that's a whole other thing, and I don't want to get into that. So I just wanted to reiterate that this country is not based upon Christian principles. United States of America, the Constitution, is based upon Mason principles. So, with that, I want to get into another thing. And because of this week being 9/11, it brought my concern about a lot of issues. And by the way, I do have to say this out there in internet. And by the way, I want to thank everybody for listening to my show and future listeners. And I again apologize if I people felt I disrespected them as if they are following, they are Christians. But it was no intention. I'm just telling you how it is, again. And that's why I'm saying I'm being politically incorrect. Or some people used to call PC. I heard that when I was in L.A. They use that word, PC, politically correct. That's a new term for PC, so I guess I'm PI today. And I have to say this, you know, with the issue of today with the war and all that, with the Iraq war, which is, I believe, lost concern because we obviously were lied to getting into. And for they had their own reasons for getting into us into that war, and mainly monetary, as people can see, for Halliburton and other issues. And many thousands of our soldiers have already died or wounded or mentally or physically affected, and their families have been affected. And not just the American ones. Just think of all the other, you know, people who have been in the war, whether it's British or other countries have had their soldiers involved with this conflict, or the people of Iraq, you know. And not saying that Saddam Hussein was a good boy, because this war actually distracted us from the real war, which is the war on the real war on terror, which is the war on Islamic fascist terrorism, which is the Al-Qaeda, which is the Hamas, which is the Hezbollah, Islamic Jihad, and the fundamental where it comes from, too, which people don't even want to talk about. Well, that was Saudi Arabia or Iran from the Shiite end. But the Democrats have to have balls and say enough is enough. Let's stop the war. We put the people had voted them into power for one reason alone, mainly across the board, even through Indiana, through the Midwest, to the mid, to the, you know, like I said, to stop the war, bring our troops home. We are not to be engaged into a civil war. We should not have troops in there dying over Shiite or Sunni control or Kurdish control of Iraq. That is not our business. We should not even... I mean, the one question I heard when they had General Petraeus and they couldn't even, he couldn't even answer was, is this war or continuation of having our soldiers there making us any safer? And he couldn't even answer that, because it is not making us safer. In fact, look at how we are right now. It's been 6 years since the attack on 9/11. And where are we? Are we any safer? Are we any better? Now, I'm not going to go into the Democrats versus the Republicans or liberals versus conservatives and all that cockamamie bullcrap. Because when it's all said and done, the fascist Islamists doesn't give a flying F what political allegiance you're aligned to. Don't care if you're an environmentalist, you're a little hippie, or the so-called, some people look, you're a tree hugger, or a liberal, or you're on the other spectrum, a neocon Pat Robertson conservative, let's kill all the gays and everybody else. Or in cultures. They don't care who you are. If you're not a Muslim, you are an infidel. And even that, there's another level there. How much Muslim are you? You are an infidel to them. And any of those who can apologize, say, oh, well, they hate your guts. I live there. I know it. I lived there for 6 years. I know how the culture is and how people think there. And people have a clue. I mean, they are people, but there's a lot of influence of culture that, and I'm talking about there's a minute extremism that places fear upon the society, amongst Arab society, and that is a class A, in which we as Americans don't understand, or people in the West do not understand. They utilize a lot of fear. But I'm asking, on 9/11 and on before, you know, where are we? And by the way, I hear all this stuff about conspiracy crap, you know, people, you know, oh my God, George Bush must have covered up, you know, and they all covered up, they set this whole thing up. Come on, it's bullshit. There was no conspiracy to have 9/11 happen. Because they are so incompetent. If this was true, that they were so cool and they had it down and they were, you know, they set up the whole thing that we had 9/11, wouldn't any of you think common sense, again, reason, that when we went into Iraq, lo and behold, they found some nuclear stuff or some weapons of mass destruction? But they didn't. The only thing, the competent thing about George Bush and Cheney and Karl Rove and the rest of the Republicans is they're competent in winning, that's another word, having campaigns and rigging winning the elections. I meant rigging or winning the elections. That's about it. You know, they're real good at that. Because the basic cover-up that happened, I mean, it was shown by Michael Moore's movie, and people thought, oh, there's no facts in that, but it was Fahrenheit movie, and you can always verify it. I mean, basically, there was a total conspiracy by George Bush, which can be verified by Richard Clark, who was the security czar under Clinton's and his administration, and George Bush Sr.'s and Reagan's administration. He was the one who handled that stuff, and he warned this administration of what was about to happen many times and get set up, but they blew it off. I mean, their only conspiracy that happened by George Bush and Colin Rice, who was National Security Advisor then, and Cheney and all the rest of them, was they're basically their incompetence in their security and dealing with it, which you can see how what they did with the Iraqi war, not having enough troops. I'm not going to get into the reasons why, but they didn't listen to the military and how it set up strategy. Like, they've been in a war before, like Rumsfeld. But it was their incompetence. You know, that was the only conspiracy that happened. So enough of that. You know, when I hear it all the time. Well, you know, they set up, look how, watch the camera. Come on. These guys were Al-Qaeda, okay? Plain and simple. Atta and all the rest of those idiots who decided to kill themselves, to kill all of attack us. We're not conspired by George Bush or anybody else. And the other thing, another bullshit about, oh, look, I saw it look like a missile going into the Pentagon. Oh, come on, that's all bullshit. You know, the only conspiracy that happened was their incompetence, which is time, 6 years, everybody can see it. Look at Katrina, the incompetence in dealing with that. I mean, come on, I can go down the line of their incompetence. It should be the incompetent. That's why he's considered probably, he is, at least, you know, as bad as Nixon was, you know, he wasn't that stupid, and he wasn't incompetent. You know, at least he had the fortitude and detente in foreign affairs with China. And Kissinger was actually the one, not Carter, but it was really Kissinger who, after 73, broke open and mended the fences between Israel and Egypt, which later became, you know, the peace agreement. But I ask again, after 6 years, are we any more secure? Are we any more secure without jeopardizing our civil liberties? Oh, yeah, the Patriot Act, that sure really helped us out. The illegal eavesdropping. Yeah, we caught a bunch of terrorists in that thing, didn't they? Wow. Or is it really just the fear-mongering or just plain desire to keep the terrorists alive for a justification to curtail and limit our civil rights and our liberties? Is that the reason they want? Maybe we're really not going to go after the terrorists that much. Put an eye on that. because then we have no justification for obstructing our liberties. And then they can continue with that old fury thing. By the way, fear is just an illusion, but they love to use it to control us. It's a way of trying to control. It's all tactic. And another thing that people make out a hero, which is Rudy Giuliani. Whoa, my God, he was there for New York. Oh, was he? There's another incompetent idiot. I don't care what any race is. This guy was a moron. First of all, the New York, and this is verified by New York City firemen under their union, that they were supposed to be, they requested many times to upgrade up having proper communication equipment, like walkie-talkies and et cetera, and all their communication devices. But they're having problems, they're dysfunctional, that they needed to upgrade immediately. And he would not take care of it. And they demanded it, but it was, you know, not taken care of. And a lot of the firemen died because of lack of communication. They couldn't, you know, their things weren't working. They couldn't even communicate. And it's sad. People died needlessly. Our firemen, some of them died needlessly because of Rudy Giuliani. And I'm not even going to go into the thing about making sure they had respirators or people working in there. Where the hell, what the hell happened there? You know? He was an absolute moron. And then the other decision they make, oh, Mr. Giuliani was so doing Mr. Strategic over here. He strategically placed the command center in the very place that was bombed before by Al-Qaeda. I mean, how stupid. You put one central command in one spot. I'm sorry. That is absolutely stupid. You have maybe except one or two or three. He's a moron. I don't care, one place and simple. And he makes himself like Mr. Hero, standing like, oh, I was there picking up the pieces since 9/11. Yeah, right. You know, throwing out some rhetoric bullshit. Standing on the hill like George Bush, dead or alive, we'll catch him. Yeah, did he? He's another one. And I ask, you know, after 6 years, what became of Al-Qaeda? Are they contained? Are they still there in... Seems like the Taliban is back still fighting and their infrastructure is still going good. In fact, even the CIA reports that Al-Qaeda is stronger than before, than 6 years ago. Stronger than 6 years ago? Gee, why is that? Oh, yeah. That's because we went into Iraq instead of focusing on keeping our eye on the ball. And I always wondered, is that their game plan? Or is it incompetence? And after 6 years, whatever became of Bin Laden, he's still making little TV events, his little video events. In fact, he's putting a little Grecian formula stuff to darken his beard. The last one I saw, he darkened it, he took out his gray. And I want to know, besides after 6 years, where are all the damn Muslims out there going who are considered, say, they're moderate, that Islam is peaceful, and get out and verbally stand on a pedestal on constantly on TV inside their mosque? In front, where are the imams who are supposed to be the ones that say they're moderate and say, make comments and about what happened in 9/11, that this isn't Islam, that we'd cascade, we'd declare that this is a perversion of Islam. Not these little minor things. I don't really hear them speaking out. You do not hear them speaking out. So, but what really comes down to, and this is where I'm getting to, is the reality after 6 years, people aren't facing the real music of what really happening today. I mean, people in Israel understood it. People in Lebanon understood it. And there are a lot of people in the Middle East understood it. The Europeans know of it, but they don't want to talk about it because they're, you know, playing the stick in their head, you know where, and don't want to deal with it because they're intimidated. Just like they were when Hitler rose. Oh, yeah, this is today's Nazism. there is an Islamic fascism. I know the words used by neocons and all that stuff, and I hear them using it. But you know what? That's like the one thing they did say that's true. There is an Islamic fascism. And people go, oh, that's not real fascism. Fascism is like this. Okay, it's not exactly Mussolini, but fascism meaning Islamic fundamental control, that there's not a dictatorial situation, that they're against freedom of thought, and fascism in a way of that the Muslims will rule the world. And it's essence, basically, that is fascism. And that's what the Islamic fascism idea, that's what I'm talking, that's today's Nazism. And that's what's happening today. I mean, you look out everywhere around, we have conflicts today, and you'll see this Islamic fascism all over the place. I mean, what do you think is happening in Sudan with the Darfur genocide? You think they're killing Christians and non-Muslims, slaughter them, brutally murder them? It's like watching, when I see those pictures, it's like you could almost put Jews in, instead of them, torturing, raping them, systematically murdering them. Why? Because what? Oh, they're not Muslim. That's like Germany. Oh, they're not Aryan. They're Jews. And what do you think? The Hamas and Islamic Jihad, what they call, always call them, the eradication of Jews in Israel, has nothing to do about over land. That war, and people do not get it, it's not a conflict over religion. Now I'm talking about the extremism. It's a conflict over religion. It's not over, you know, oh, they put a wall here and they took a little bit of property. That's all bullshit. There's an Islamic fascist situation where the Hamas, and you can read even Hamas, by the way, they have in their doctrine, they don't just hate Jews, they want to get rid of the Jews. They want Islamic control of that area. Islamic control. And they don't stop there. They even have a list of order of organizations they want to destroy. They want to destroy, they call the United States the infidel organization. In fact, they want to talk about murdering, you know, destroying anybody associated with the Rotary Clubs and Lions Club, and basically, let's kill, get rid of all the, unless they submit to Islam. That's what they're saying. And the Hezbollah has the same thing. Look at their doctrine. They want Islamic control of Lebanon. They call for the mass murder, liquidation of every Jew in Israel. They call for the murder, the eradication of Christians and non-believers in Lebanon. And what does Iran do? Oh, we'll keep Jews around. You know, we're not calling, but let's kill all the Jews in Israel. Oh, we're not hating Israel. We'll just wipe out all of Israel, which is all the Jews in Israel. That is an Islamic fascism in itself. And what's happening with Muslim attacks in Europe is the same thing. You know, they feel there's an Islamic fascist thing that they want to recontrol what they fought, like the Spain. Because there's a doctrine for Islam is where, and they're pulling this perversion part of it, that once there's an Islamic control, it has to stay in Islamic control. And if you lose it, you have to regain it. And that's that is one of their jihads. But you can listen, like the call for imams to have Islamic control, like I said, for Europe, and through violence if it's necessary. And you can listen to all the continuation of onslaught attacks by Muslims toward Hindus in India, the Buddhists in Thailand, and the Catholics in Philippines. And I can go on and on and on. And you know what's funny is when they toppled the famous, in Afghanistan, they blew apart, the famous statue of Buddha in Afghanistan. You didn't hear the Buddhas rise up and, you know, and start throwing Molotov cocktails and, you know, destroying Islamic businesses, and whether they're attacking Muslims or, you know, having violence. They just blew up their a sacred statue. But if it's the other way around, it's different. And I'm here, I'm not being politically correct, because I'm just telling you how it is. Because I know how it is. And I'm not saying all Muslims, I'm saying there are a large, this is a small faction. That small faction, you're talking billions of, a billion, I don't, I'm probably don't remember the amount, but at least a billion Muslims. And if you take 10% of it, how many is that? 10% extremists? That's 100 million? That's a lot of extremists. But it didn't take that many Nazi, you know, Nazi Germany wasn't taken over by 60%, it was taken over by 30%. And even that 30% that controlled Nazi Germany was really 10% of the population that ultimately really took over Germany from into the Weimar into the era of Nazism. And finally, why are liberal left-wing side of the political spectrum so naive to the point of being an apologist to these neo-fascist extremists? I mean, that's pretty naive. I mean, in Islamic law, if it was implemented in the interpretation of these Islamic fascists, much like Iran, these very individuals would be the first ones to go. So enough with the naivete. Now, I'm not trying to be fear-monging. I'm trying, for fear is, like I like to say, is an illusion. I just want to emphasize an awareness of this situation. I'm trying to establish what people need to face, what is the reality of today, and what could be done. Because just think if in 1930s something was done before Hitler was in power or shortly after, what would happen? Millions of people would have been saved. Over, what, 12 million people died because of not just one man, because it wasn't one man. So we can always stick our heads in the sand and play the tune of Chamberlain's Papers. Let's call it, oh yeah, we're being secure, we don't want to offend anybody. But that's, hey, you know what? You're going to offend the people. You have to get real. If you don't offend people, guess what's going to happen? It's going to be offensive, but you have to stand up what's real. Otherwise, we are going to head into the big, major, multi-million people death conflict. And I'm emphasizing, why is this hatred so prevalent right now? Well, why is this fascist perversion of Islam becoming such a reality? Well, you know what? I could sit there and write 6 million books why, or somebody else could, and we could all make a lot of money on tours, talking on talk shows about what reality of hatred is come. And, but the reality of hatred, it just comes from, very simple, from lack of self-esteem and self-worth, which, as anybody can read about, Hitler and Goebbels and all the rest of them knew very well that's how they got them. I mean, the Germans were highly sophisticated people, yet, because they had lack of self-esteem and self-worth, guess what? Hitler took advantage of that. So I'm asking, after 9/11, we've become aware of this extreme behavior. Should we really be doing, or should not be doing, whatever? We don't need to get into the blame games and all this, and he said, she said, whatever. But get into it now. I'm wondering why, what is being done regarding our situation, and why again haven't the moderate Muslims become very vocal toward this extremism in their name? I'm wondering if it's out of fear or compliance. And I'm always wondering if those who wish to endear this extremism so that they could use it as a ploy to get us into an unwarranted war, Iraq, or curtail our civil liberties, Patriot Act, or illegal eavesdropping. Or maybe it's just that these individuals, after the aftermath of 9/11, using that to unite the world with a sense of love and compassion, which they should have had and was basically handed to them. I mean, God, Bush could have been the greatest president. Instead, utilizing it, the aftermath, as fear-mongering. It's like the policeman wanting to have a criminal around, on the loose, running around, causing a little bit of damage and scare, so that he has a job. Basically, job security. Is that the reason why maybe Bin Laden's running around still? So that we have to feel we need a Bush in office or another neocon Republican? Or maybe it's the old magic trick to keep people in fear and full of hate so that they can steal more money and more power to control the masses. Just a thought. So anyway, just want everybody, I can keep on going on and on about this, but I just want people to question and think about what things are. And you can re-listen to this and just delve into your own information and also about the what I said in the top of the hour. And as John Litter had said, if there wasn't any organized religion, then perhaps there wouldn't be any wars. Just imagine. And I want to close out toward the end here with what Thomas Paine had said of religion, and it's so true today. Of all the tyrannies that affect mankind, tyranny in religion is the worst. So, also want everybody to check out my web blog site at www.andrew.myufo.com, because I have a brief I had written, probably most of it's what I have just said in there regarding the 9/11. But I had put in there a brief account by Brigitte Gabriel, a Lebanese Christian who lived in southern Lebanon. And you have to, I know it's a like 45-minute tape, but if you listen to it, you will have true understanding of what it is like living in the Middle East, and it's still true today. So, again, I'm going to be closing out with here from my friends from down under, the group called, true indeed, the Masonic Temple, with Devil's Suitcase. And I want to wish everybody, first, again, my thoughts and prayers go out to all those who have been victimized on 9/11 and on any other terrorist act, because my heart really, there's like no words. So with that, God bless you all. Love and light, and the Devil's Suitcase. God bless you again. Bye.
it all.